It is an honor and a privilege to be on this platform this morning. I do not take it lightly. And I believe that God has given me a word for this house, whether you're in the building or you're connected online. The title of this morning's message is Surprised by Joy. And I hope and I pray that it blesses you. If you have an outline, you have it. If you don't and you have a Bible, we're going to begin in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, everyone's favorite scripture. I'm sure it's on everyone's refrigerator. James 1, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 4, and we have it. I've heard it, the screen's called the Sky Bible, so if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you, but we'll have it up here, and I want to go over this in a couple different versions and translations to just drive home the point. In this book, James is the first pastor of the first church, and he's very pastoral in his writings. He's very strong and practical. And so he opens his book and he says, and we're going to read out of the New King James first. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Out of the New Living, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Lastly, out of the NIV, he says to consider it pure joy, consummate joy, ultimate joy, total joy. "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I don't do drugs, I do scripture, and that was really good. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. The outset of this message, God, I thank you for the moment that we share. Those that are in this room with us, those that are tuned in online, those that are watching this later, that we're not here by accident. We're not hearing this word today by accident, but it is ordained by you. And I just thank you that you take these moments that we share together and you do what only you can do. I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit, that you make Jesus so real to every person within the sound of my voice in a fresh and a new way, because he is the one we need. He is the one our hearts long for. He is the one. And we thank you that you're here. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you open our eyes to see, that you open our ears to hear fresh and new, and that you have prepared our hearts for this moment to believe and to receive your word. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Consider it joy. Have you ever been surprised by things that brought you joy? Have you ever stepped into a moment and been surprised by something that just brought you an abundant amount of joy? Because if you listed like your top 100 things of things that bring you joy, there might be things in it such as coffee. For me, that's very high on my list. Time with my wife and my family. Music, worship, gathering in this house with the people of God. There's lots of things that I would put on my list of things that bring me joy. But occasionally there are things that happen that surprise us. And James is telling us here to count it, to consider it all joy, pure joy, consummate joy, as joy so far-reaching that it's like every color on the spectrum, that kind of joy, when we experience trials, when we experience testing, when we experience difficulty. Can anybody identify with that? Like this morning. Consider it joy. That word joy means, it means gladness. In the context here, it's talking about delight, to rejoice. It references praise. Biblical joy, Jesus over and over again, and especially in John 16, he talks about our joy being full. So biblical joy is not the same as mere happiness. It's not the same as riding a roller coaster and be like, oh, that was great. We laugh and it's shallow. But biblical joy is satisfaction. It is fulfillment. It is settledness. It's contentment. It's deep and it's wide. And Pastor James tells us to consider it pure joy. The kind of joy that leads you to praise and to rejoice. The kind of joy that turns your situation around even when nothing's changed in the natural. When you experience difficulty. Trials of many kinds. It's been one of those years, right? We have faced a lot of trials of a lot of different kinds. Many of us are in trials and testing and battles right now. Consider it joy. For those of us that know Jesus and have experienced the hope and healing that only He can bring, we know that in a moment where it's too big for us, where it's too much for us, where we can't handle it, it is a moment, an opportunity where He can do what only He can do. And Pastor James is encouraging us to embrace that moment. As Americans in 2021, crazy, we don't like being in a position where we need God to show up. Amen? You know, we have vehicles that we wave our foot underneath and the hatch opens up. Don't even need to grab the handle. We have air conditioning and heaters for our backsides. Half of us can't back up a vehicle without a camera anymore. We are catered to in such a way. We avoid hardship at all costs. He says to consider it joy when you run into something that's too big for you. We've experienced a couple things this year that were too big for us. Too big. I have four observations from the passage we read that I want to go over with you this morning and as quickly a time as I can. Number one, I believe a takeaway from verse 2 is that we cannot choose our season, but we can choose our spirit. You can't choose your season, but you can choose your spirit. We could also say attitude, but the alliteration's not there, so we're going to go with spirit. So that's what preachers do. I may not be able to control what happens to me. Because in this world, we have an enemy. We have three great enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're always working against us. The attack is consistent and constant. And so we're always going to have opportunity to give in and give up. That's the goal of the enemy. We may not be able to control what happens to us, but we can choose what happens through us. The moment you encounter a test, the moment you encounter a trial, the moment you encounter temptation, you have a choice. Church, we have a choice. Father says, I've placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Please choose life. You have a choice. See, it's immaturity, it's childishness, it's behaving like a little kid to always give a knee-jerk reaction, to just rely on reflexes and your natural inclination. Something hurts, we pull away. It's maturity, it's growth, it's being an adult to recognize not everything that hurts is bad and not everything that feels good is good. I'm going to say that again. Not everything that feels good is good, and not everything that hurts is bad. You may not be able to choose your season, but you can choose your spirit. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, out of the New Living Translation. I believe we have, yes. It says, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. We have a promise from the Lord that there will be seasons. There will be seasons. And oftentimes we want to throw away the season we're in because it's not comfortable to us. We don't like it when it's cold. We don't like it when it's hot. I don't like it when it's hot. I'm okay with the cold. My wife loves the summer, so we're at odds. But I sleep with a fan on my side of the bed, so life is good. While the earth remains, this is a promise from the Lord, there's going to be seasons. You don't get to choose your season. I've heard people declaring this season's going to be, and maybe they have a word from the Lord, but oftentimes, seasons come that we don't want. Seasons come that we don't like, but we have to choose our response. And it shows maturity, it shows adulthood, it shows coming along in this walk with the Lord when we choose a response that's not childish, that's not throwing a fit, that's not getting upset because it doesn't go the way we want it to go. That's called life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, there's a season for everything. Man, I wish there were just seasons for harvest and blessing and abundance and seasons for hunting. I love that. If you don't, that's fine. Don't judge me. I wish there were all the seasons that I want, but you know what? If you always had what you wanted, you would never appreciate it. We enjoy spring so much because winter can be rough. Are you with me? Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 4, also from the New Living Translation, tells us that those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Those too lazy to work the season that they're in will not be prepared for the season to come. What you're doing now in your season that you're in is laying the groundwork, is planting seeds, is preparing you for the season to come. And sometimes we're in a season where we got to work. We think that's a four-letter word. It is. You can add them up. Work. And we don't like it. But it was given to us by God to work the season that we're in. God is doing something in your season right now. You can turn to the person next to you. God is doing something in your season. Just tell somebody. If it's your spouse, be careful. You got to go home with them. He is given you this season for a purpose. He is working in and through you in this season. Don't throw it away. Don't wish away your current season. You may not be able to choose your season, but you can choose your spirit. You can choose your attitude. You can choose your response to it. Number two, testing and trials lead to a testimony. Oh, we love having a testimony. We don't like the process that it requires to have a testimony. We all want to be overcomers, but we don't want to overcome anything. Everybody say amen or oh me. We want to be more than conquerors because it's promised in the Word. But that means there's battles to be fought. That means that there's patience and endurance that needs to be developed. To be a skilled warrior in the kingdom requires going through some stuff. And you're like, well, it's so easy for so-and-so. You're seeing the highlight reel. In this Instagram world of showing everybody our highlight reel and the best moments, and everything's cropped and filtered, and we show our best side. We compare that to our behind the scenes of needing to grind it out day in and day out. Are you with me? Testing leads to a testimony. Resistance produces. You know, Scott and I were talking yesterday a little bit before prayer about lifting weights, which is something I enjoy. I'd kind of gotten away from it for a little while. And you know, exercising, lifting weights, weight training is the purposeful application of pressure and resistance and weight to develop. We all want to be strong, but we don't want to deal with heavy things. We all want to be capable, but we don't want to deal with difficult things. It's that difficulty that's producing something in you. Because perseverance, endurance, patience, it's a muscle. So he says, let patience have its perfect work. We don't like patience. That's the most dangerous prayer in the world. God, give me patience, because he will. Today, probably in the third or fourth quarter. And we should take a moment right now and pray. Forgive me. Father, we do thank you for a win and victory in Jesus' name. Okay. We will never be overcomers without things to overcome. You know, John 16:33, Jesus says, In this world, you will have pressure. You will have resistance. You will have trouble and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's interesting that over and over again, when he's sharing in this moment, he talks about, I'm giving you my joy. I'm filling your joy up. You may be running on empty, but I came that you might be filled with joy, surprised by joy. In a moment where you should have a response that's anything but, in those moments where it's way too much for us, it's his joy that's our strength. It's his joy that gives us the victory. In a society where we are running away from difficulty and hardship, I want you to stop and consider that the stories that we tell are often built around difficulty and hardship. I don't sit around with a group of guys telling them about the camping trip that just went perfect, where everything went smooth, flawless. We had everything we needed. Everything went the way we expected. That's boring. No movie's been produced that tells that kind of story. Our hearts and souls don't respond to easy stories. But the stories that we tell, especially as believers in the household of faith, is when God showed up in an impossible situation and did what only he could do. And he worked on our behalf. And we were strengthened when we were weak. We had joy when everything was against us. We saw victory when it was impossible. Those are the stories we tell. So I would challenge you this morning to contend to live for those kind of stories, knowing that when it's difficult, he's setting you up. It's an opportunity for joy because we know that he is faithful. Because we could spend the rest of our time together sharing about the times when he was so faithful. When we had nothing and no means of getting by and no way of paying the bills and no way of doing this or that, but God showed up. Paid bills we couldn't pay. Healed bodies the doctors said were broken. Are you with me? Testing, trials lead to a testimony. In verse 4, it says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Our third takeaway is little by little, eventually becomes a lot. Little by little, eventually becomes a lot. That may seem incredibly elementary and simple. But when you step back and apply it to your own life, that's where the rubber meets the road. Let patience have its perfect work. You know, whether it's fitness, physical fitness, whether it's financial fitness, saving, giving, whatever discipline God is calling you into, it's little bit by little bit becomes a lot. We just think we have to have it all together right here, right now. That the moment we step into the gym, we should be the world's strongest man right now. That's not how it works. That's not what we're called to. We're called to faithfulness. We're called to perseverance. You know, you don't climb a mountain in fits and starts, just going for it. You never climb a mountain at a sprint. Nobody in this room, certainly not me. It's steady, consistent effort, one step after another, and before too long, little by little, becomes a lot. We look at people that are way down the road, but they've been faithful. Faithful for a long time. We need to keep moving forward into the future God's calling us into. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I have a plan for you. And it is a future and a hope. God has a future for you to step into. And too many of us, we are waiting for God to just do something, and he's calling us to step into a moment and to begin to apply what he's told us to do, to begin to be faithful in what he's given us here and now, in our church, in our city, in our sphere of influence, little by little, becomes a lot. I believe God's given us a mandate to reach this city, to have an impact in this city. And that happens little by little. But that little bit, if you'll be faithful and I'll be faithful, will become a lot. You don't have to do it all today. You just have to do, he will use what's in your hand. For Moses, it was a stick. For Samson, it was the jawbone of a donkey. For David, it was a sling. God will use whatever is in your hand to accomplish the dream that he has placed in your heart. We despise what, well, I only have this, God. I don't see. I don't know how this works. You don't have to know how this works. You just have to be faithful. You just have to be faithful. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9 tells us to not grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, that's the enemy's goal, is that you would lose heart. Have you felt the inclination? Have you heard the whisper in your ear to, it would be a whole lot easier just to give up. You're not doing anything. It's not true. It's a lie. That's what he does. And we need to be faithful and on guard and aware that if we will just be faithful and do what God has given us to do. See, God will not do what he's placed in your hand to do. I'm going to say that again. God will not do. Not that he can't. He could. Very easily. It would be so much easier if he would just do it. And he's well able. But for some reason, he wants to engage with you and I. For some reason, he wants to partner with broken, messed up humanity. For some reason, he not only loves me, he likes me, and he wants me to do stuff with him. But he will not do what he has placed in your hand to do. But when you do what he has placed in your hand to do, when you will use what you've been gifted with, then he will do what only he can do. What only he can do. I want you to look at Matthew 13 and verse 33. Out of the Message Bible, we'll have it on the Sky Bible over here. Jesus is telling a parable, and he says, the kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman worked into the dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread and waits while the dough rises. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like watching dough rise. I don't know if you've done that lately. That's not very exciting. For some of us, we think that the kingdom of God is the Walt Disney World of the Spirit. And it's one exciting ride after another and constant excitement and go, go, go. And in those moments where things get real, you know, when you put yeast in dough in the right conditions and it begins to rise, it's a very slow, painful process. Worse than watching a pot boil is watching dough rise. And Jesus says that's what the kingdom of God is like. And what is he saying? He's like, little bit by little bit. You don't see something happening, but something's happening. You may not feel that something's happening, even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when I can't feel it, he's working. So we're not moved by what we feel. I would totally be on board. If we could live our lives based on feelings, I'm on board, but it doesn't work. Because you're up here this moment and you're down here the next praying to die. That's your memory verse for the day. The kingdom of God is like watching dough rise. Put that on a bumper sticker. He's working. Things are changing. Things are happening. Even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Number four is our last one. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Number four, this is our takeaway also from verse four. Don't bypass the process. Don't bypass the process. In the New Living, you'll have it in your notes here, it says, so let it grow. Let that leaven of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, that work he's doing on the inside of you, let it grow. For when your endurance, that's our favorite word. I don't like endurance training. I don't like it at all. I don't like running. Because endurance training is boring. We're talking about perseverance, endurance, patience being like muscles. You know, we always like to work the muscles that people can see or we feel like people can see, right? The thing I hated the most working with a trainer, they always wanted to work on my core. I'm like, nobody's ever going to see that. No, but it affects everything you do. The reason why your posture's not right, the reason why you're pulling muscles here and there, the reason why things aren't working like the way they should is your core's not strong. The center of who you are, the thing that everything's connected to, is not what it should be. And the Holy Spirit is working on things on the inside of you that nobody else can see. But you got to let him work that on the inside of you. You got to work with him. All the weights in the world will do you no good unless you work them. You apply them. You respond correctly to them. Don't get ahead of God. Development happens. If you're taking notes, you should write this down. Development happens in seasons of discomfort. I'll say that again. Development happens in seasons of discomfort. I don't like that any more than you do. I don't like that principle. I wish it weren't true. I wish development happened in my lazy boy watching the Chiefs game. That would be great. But development happens in seasons of difficulty. You can also write these down. In Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus calling the disciples. You can just make note of this, and you can go check it out and find out that I'm telling you the truth. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you. I want you to recognize and understand, he's not saying, follow me and I will take you. Because in a lot of Christendom today, we've reduced the gospel to say yes to Jesus and he will take you to heaven. We've made it destination-based. But Jesus did not say that to his disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you. He's so much more concerned about who you are than what you do. He's so much more concerned about what he's doing in you. And we've made it so much about a destination and a goal. Follow me, and I will make you. What does he make? We don't like being the clay sometimes. We don't like the pressure and the discomfort of being formed and shaped, changed. Fully developed. Fully developed. You know, I was listening to Mike Todd, pastor from Tulsa. And I'm giving him credit this time because from here on out, this is mine. But he's talking about Jesus when he was 12 years old and in the temple. Right? And so many preachers focus on the fact that Mary lost God, you know? They're like, where's he at? But Mike brought a different perspective. He said, you know what? I think Mary might have been a little bit like my mom. And she's like, Jesus, doing dishes. Jesus. Jesus. Where is that boy? She goes and tracks him down. And if she's anything like my mom, she can say an entire sentence, phrase, paragraph without breaking her teeth. Jesus, what are you doing? Are you with me? Have you experienced that? I've been in that moment more than once. And Jesus says, I'm just doing my Father's business. Calm down, Mary. What did you call me? But it's interesting. 12-year-old Jesus entering in to the process of adolescence and becoming a man, fully God but fully human, has that moment, and we marvel at it. He was far, because he is fully God, was so advanced in the teaching of the law, in his knowledge of the word, expounding on things in the temple, and they marveled at him. But we didn't hear from him for 18 years. Why don't you stop and think about that? 18 years. 12-year-old boy, and his mother says, hey, coming home. Even Jesus had to go through a process. You know, over in Hebrews, it talks about that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And I always kind of wondered at that. But even God in the flesh, I believe he had his pace slowed down. He couldn't bypass the process. I believe he could have performed miracles in that moment. He had all the capacity on the inside of him, but he needed to go through a process. And why do we think we're any different? We don't like the process. We don't like going through development. But that's exactly what we need. You remember before cameras were on every phone? Do you remember a thing called film? For those of you that are too young to understand what I'm talking about, this is a little roll of a film. And when you click the button, the shutter opened and light was exposed, it took a picture. Charles can tell you all about it. And he's a lot better with photography than I am. That is not an age thing. That's just knowledge. getting myself in trouble. But you would take that film to a professional, and it would take some time to be developed. It would take some time to be developed. It had to go through a process. And what happened in that process, they would take that film into a place called a dark room. And they would take it through a process. And your negatives, I believe this is a word from the Lord for you this morning. He would take the negatives and develop them. And at the end of the process, if done correctly, at the right time, in the right manner, you could finally see a clear picture. You can't bypass the process. What God is developing in you, the vision He's given you, the picture of your life is going through a process. And He's taking those negatives that we want to run and hide from. We want helicopter Jesus to come in and get us right out of there. But He's likened unto, we have this anchor of the soul. Not a helicopter of the soul, but an anchor that keeps us grounded, that keeps us steady, that holds us in difficult moments. And you may think that that vision is not happening. You may think that that dream, that image that God had placed in your heart is never going to happen. His timing is perfect. I believe that God causes all things. Romans 8:28 says He causes all things to work together for good. I don't know how He does it, but I know that He does. And you may be in a moment where it's painful and ugly. It's a mess. And I don't know how. But you let the process develop. And before long, it starts coming into clarity, into focus. He is working on you. He is working on me. It's not over. And if you won't quit, you can't lose. I said, if you won't quit, let patience, let endurance, let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete or mature or fully developed, lacking nothing. I'm not there yet. There are things that I'm believing for. And you and I, if we're in that moment together, are in position to see God do something that only He can do. It's not over. He's not done with you. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 6 says that be confident of this very thing. We have confidence. We have hope. You know, we have hope as sons and daughters of the King, of followers of Jesus. There is hope and healing that only He brings. And because of relationship with Him, we have hope, we have confidence. That word confidence and hope are very much related, because biblical hope, I'll give you a definition. It's not in the notes, it's not in your outline, but you should write this down. Hope is a joyful, confident expectation of good. A joyful, confident expectation of good. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful. He will complete that work. He's gonna finish the process if we let Him. It's not over. There is joy. If you're here this morning and your joy is on empty, you came to the right place. You tuned into the right live feed. You clicked on the right video. Because he said, I came that your joy might be full. And he's the only one that can fill it. And my prayer this morning is as we go out and we step out of this place, that what happens in these moments on this Sunday morning will affect our Monday, Tuesday, and the rest of our week. That your joy would be full, that you would be surprised by joy. You're going to step into a situation and other people are going to be falling apart and just grasping at straws at what to do, and there's going to be confidence, settledness, gladness in a situation where it shouldn't be. Are you with me? Surprised by joy. Father, I just pray for every person here, every person watching, that where there is sorrow, despair, and hopelessness, that there is joy and hope, confidence that you are the one, that you are a way maker, you are a miracle worker, you are a promise keeper, you are our light in the darkness. I thank you that you are at work, working in and through us, and we say yes to you. We say yes to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Come, Lord. Let's not get ahead of him. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're exactly who we need and what we need. There's somebody, maybe more than one person in the sound of my voice, that's dealing with an impossible situation. I want you to know that he remains faithful. He remains faithful. And don't get ahead of the process. I believe there's also those of us that are here this morning that there are things that have been placed in our hands. Things we've been entrusted with that we've neglected, that we've put down, maybe even denied. He will use what is in your hand to accomplish the dream that he's placed in your heart. Don't give up on the process. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right here, right now, in a very specific way, that there is something that you need to tend to. You're not going to be lazy in this season, but you're going to work what he has placed in your hand to work. And you're going to see a harvest in the next season. I believe I'm going to leave it just as broad as that because I believe the Holy Spirit's working right here and right now. Your next season, you're going to see things fulfilled. The best is yet to come in this house. The best is yet to come in this house. And I believe that the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. Some of you would be like, I don't know how that's going to work. We don't have to know. We just have to trust him. Amen. Can I bless you? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we thank you for it. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you're at work in this place, and we say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.